Let's open it. Let's see our Bibles this morning. Let's try that one more time. Are y'all awake? Okay, we just want to warm y'all up a little bit. Let's see the word. Pens. And let's see your notes, your lesson plan. Please turn to Psalm 119. Psalms 119. Psalms 119. I want to welcome all your visitors. Welcome to the Rock. Who's the man at the Rock?
Jesus.
Who's the man everywhere?
Jesus.
We be excited. In every culture, in every group of people, there are slang words that people use to take shortcuts to explain stuff. Many different slang words. And one of them, when I was growing up, was word. If someone said something you wanted to affirm they were telling the truth, you would say word. Did that really happen? Word. And so you would say word, and they would come back and say, word? You would say word. So you can say it with an exclamation point, you can just say it, you can say it with a question mark. And word is bond, that means my word is guaranteed, trustable. Other slang words are fat, you can call somebody fat, P-H-A-T, which means they're good looking. So if you call a girl fat, you better be sure she understands that definition. You know, we say things are bad when they're really good, things are cold when they're really good, or chill. Cool. But word was one, and so when we started saying word, it means a lot of things. It means the word of God, but it means the word of God is dependable and trustable. And so when you say word, you're really kind of saying slang that I didn't really know. I kind of tricked you into that over the years, but we are saying that God's word is trustable, it's reliable. We're going to look at Psalm 119, because Psalm 119 is all about God's word, the whole psalm. It is the longest chapter in the Bible with 176 verses. In your notes, you have a space for that. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the whole Bible. Has 176 verses. Psalms is the longest book with 150 chapters. Psalm 117 is the shortest and middle chapter of the Bible. Has two verses. Psalm 18:18 is the middle verse of the Bible. And Psalms means songs sung to string instruments. So all the Psalms were songs or poems, hymns that Israel would sing to guitars, harps, etc., etc., etc. They're poems, songs that praise God. There's prophecy in Psalms. There's thanksgiving in Psalms. There's lamenting and woe is me Psalms and confessions in Psalms. Psalms were authored over 1,000 years. Moses wrote a psalm, David, Ezra, Nehemiah. And so a lot of different authors over 1,000 years. So it has the longest authorship of all the books in the Bible. But Psalm 119 that we're going to look at today is all about God's word. And the way it's structured is even about God's word, because there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And Psalm 119 has 8 verses per letter in the Hebrew alphabet. 8 times 22 is 176. So each letter has 8 verses, and each passage of 8 verses starts with the letter that it represents. So God organized this book to be all about his word, and he organized it around the alphabet of the Hebrew language. And what's ironic is that the number 8, there's numbers in the Bible. God is all about numbers also, by the way. But the number 8 represents a new era or new life after the number 7, which is completion. So some go 7 days, then new life, a new era starts again. And what's ironic about that is that the word of God brings new life to you and me. So we're going to look at the first 9 verses, and what we're going to look at and study are 7 different words that God uses for word. One of those words, we have 86 words to describe. But we're just going to look at seven. There's many more words God uses for word, but we're going to look at seven words God uses for word, and hopefully it's an encouragement to you and I to trust the word, to obey the word. Our verse, our memory verse for the week is verse 9, which says, how can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his word. And so we want to know why, how to take heed according to God's word, and we want to be sure that God's word is reliable. So we're going to look at that today, and let's pray that God would open up our hearts and encourage us in our trusting of his word. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's reliable. We thank you that it's timeless. We thank you that it's powerful, living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I pray that you would encourage us to trust it, to read it, to memorize it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's look at chapter 119, verse 1 through 9. Let's read that. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. If you're underlining, underline law. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, underline testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently, underline precepts. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, underline statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments, underline commandments. I will praise you with my whole heart, and I will learn of your righteous judgments, underline judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word, underline word. Now in your notes, we have these verses written out, so we're going to fill in the blanks. First it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The law. The first word they use is the word Torah or Torah. Now if you a student of the Bible, you know that the Torah is also referred to as the first five books of the Bible, but really it means the law of the teaching of God. In your space there, you can write teaching, instruction, guidance, or direction from God to his people. God's Torah, his law, is his teaching to us about how to live. And it says if you are blessed if you walk in the law of God. If you want to be happy, do what God says. If you want to be unhappy, don't do what God says. Now, you can have fun for a short period of time not doing what God says or doing what you want, but in the end, you're going to be unhappy. But if you want to be happy all the time, or if you want to be happy, I mean, you may have sadness, but if you want to be happy and have joy, rivers of living water flowing from your heart, do what God says. Do his law. His law is there to bless you. His law is there to bring happiness to your life, joy to your life, and prosperity. I don't mean financial prosperity exclusively, but that God would, your life would be blessed. That you would be like a tree planted by the waters, that your leaves will always be green. If you obey his law. I was talking at a youth conference once, and this kid said, he asked a question. He says, if I was to live a sinful life and do my thing all the way through my life, and then right before I died, I said, God, please forgive me. Would he forgive me? I said, yes, he would. If you're sincere, he'll forgive you. He says, well, aren't I cheating God? Why would God let me take advantage of him and cheat him like that? I said, you're cheating yourself. Because another slang word is jacked up. If your name is Jack, don't be offended. But you could live a jacked up life all your life doing what you want and at the end say sorry. You cheated yourself because your life was messed up. If you were to follow God's law from the beginning, your life would have been better. So don't think you're taking advantage of God. And some of y'all right now say, well, you know, I don't want all of God. I want to do my own thing. You're cheating yourself out of being blessed. And you may ask yourself, well, how can I be more blessed than I am? Who? You're clueless. But one day, I was just real happy. You know, some days you're just real happy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the other days you're not real happy. But one day, I was real happy. And I said to God, God, you know, it don't get any better than this. And he said, don't insult me. He said, don't think this is all. This is the best I can do. This is the best your life can be. And so don't ever think that God can't bless you more. Don't think that you don't want to, if you give your life to God and you commit to him, that your life's going to get worse. That's an insult to God. I was talking to someone today about, they went on a cruise, Pastor Dan went on a cruise to Alaska. He was telling me about the eagles and the whales and the blue glaciers and all this stuff. And I was, you know, I love a Discovery Channel, so I'm always looking at TV. And, you know, and I was watching Discovery the other day, and this guy was had a lion on a chain. He was petting a lion. He was his pet. I mean, the lion was like, it was huge. It was ridiculous. And I look at all the beautiful things God made, the snow, the heat, the oceans, I just met a guy today from Honduras. He was talking about the reefs where you go snorkeling around this island. And the amazing thing about the world, as beautiful as it is that it's cursed. That we live in a cursed planet. It used to be better. Think about that. You can say, well, it doesn't get any better than this. God said it was better than this before you messed it up. So if you want to be blessed, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. There's a way that seems right to you and me, but in the end it leads to death. God says if you're really blessed, if you do what I say. Look at the next one. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Testimonies comes from the word edut, means to bear witness or corroboration by testimony. To bear witness. God's word is his testimony of himself bearing witness to the truth. See, many of us think, well, some guy sat in a room and they wrote these Bible and that's how we got it. Let me tell you something about the Bible. The Bible was written over 1,600 years by over 40 different authors on 3 different continents, and they wrote of hundreds of topics from the creation of the world to the end of the world, even after the end of the world. Marriage, being a family, being an employer, dealing with your enemies, salvation, Israel, all kinds of topics, and it all blends together. If 40 people in this room saw the same car accident at the same time, the same day, the same place, we would have 40 different stories. These 40 different people, God inspired over 1,600 years to write his word, and they are his. It is not those men's opinion. It's God's testimony. And when you read the Bible, you're reading about what God is saying about his kingdom, what God's saying about what he wants us to know. When you read about David killing Goliath, God created David, and guess what? He created Goliath. I'm going to make this big brother. He's going to be all 9 foot tall. He's going to have a big mouth. He's going to talk trash. And I'm going to give him a big head, a big old forehead so David can see it. So when he throws the rock, it hits him. He created Goliath. And that whole scenario where David came down, threw the rock, all the Jewish soldiers wouldn't fight, all the Philistines are watching, and they saw this little kid kill this giant. God created that. He said, I want to tell you the story. You can go to anybody and tell them the story. So the Bible is God's testimonies. When I was 17 years old, I witnessed a friend of mine's dad shoot another friend of mine. And the guy that got shot was a bully, and he was bullying this other kid. And so his dad, who was a police officer and very sweet man, his kid was sweet, they're a very humble family, he just got fed up and said, I'm taking matters in my own hands, came and shot him. And I was a witness, and the cops came, and I told them I saw everything that would happen. I knew the man. I knew everybody, both people involved. So they said, you know, we're going to have you come down to the trial. So a year and a half later, I was in college. I had to come down, sit in a courtroom, and say, that's him, to a man that I grew up with, knew him since I was a little kid. I had to give a testimony to what I saw, what I knew. God has given testimony what he knows. God knows what he knows. He knows everything. And so when you're reading the Bible, you're not reading stories of man. You're reading stories of God. And when you share your faith, guess what? Just share his testimonies. Talk about what God's done in your life. Talk about what God's done in the people lives in the people in the Bible. You don't have to say, you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell. That may be true. But share God's stories because they bear witness to the truth just as much as the other thing. Because when God does something supernatural on behalf of somebody and he writes it in the Bible, he's there to show us his power, his faithfulness. It's his testimony. Look what I did for them, fellas. Look what I did for her, ladies. That's what I want you to know. I spoke at the Rotary Club. The Rotary Club has a youth division. And they have kids in these different Rotary clubs around San Diego. And about 2 or 3 years in a row, I went to their camp, the yearly camp up in Ottawa somewhere to speak the last day of their camp. And the first 2 years, I did this assembly program speech that I have. And then the third year, I went back. I want to do something different. I said, I want to share the Bible with them. But, you know, it's not a Bible thing. It's not a church thing. But I still want to share the Bible with them. So I tried to figure out how I could do that. So what I did was I printed out on a piece of paper the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I said, I'm going to go up and I'm going to tell them, I'm going to share a story with you about three Jewish boys. But I'm going to preach it just like a sermon. I just won't do an altar call. But everything else would be the same. So I figured, you know, I'm black. They're probably not going to think I'm trying to convert them to Judaism. Not that there aren't black Jews, but that, you know, they're not going to think that. They're not going to think that. So the hell? He's going to share a story about three Jewish boys. How interesting. I'm going to share a story about these three Jewish boys who are committed to their God. Now we're getting warm, getting close. So I print it up and I told them. And matter of fact, in that story, it never says Jesus' name. It just says God and the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus. And so they don't know that. They don't need to know that. So I preach the story. You know, I'm going to tell you a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. And we're going to talk about this these three guys. Watch out now. And you know, they think, okay, well, it's going to be a good story about these three kids. And the whole point of the story was that these three kids were challenged by the world to bow. And they said, we ain't bowing. That was the whole point of the story. That's all I want to tell these kids. You're going to get tempted to do drugs, do this, do that. And are you going to bow and be like everybody else? Or do you have something you believe in that's worth standing up for and dying for? That was the whole point of the thing. Let me tell you something. They loved it. But my point is this. It was just a testimony of what God did. That's all it was. But they never knew it, but the impact was the same. They went, man, these kids believed in their God. What do we believe in? That's all you got to do. These are God's testimonies. That's what his word is. Next one. It says, they also, those who are blessed, also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Precepts are responsibilities he has appointed to his people. God has given every single one of us in here responsibilities. Do you know what they are? Gentlemen, your responsibility is to love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's your responsibility. Now, ladies, your responsibility is to respect your husband. Amen. You ever see the commercial about the guy who snaps 30 times in 1 second? He gets a little dance thing going. Ladies, respect your husband. Submit to your husband. Where's my microphone? There you go. But the woman has that responsibility. But, fellas, our responsibility comes first. Amen. Three snaps in a circle. Fellas, if your wife is not doing her job, you better ask yourself, are you doing your job? If you do your job, she'll do her job. If you do your job and she don't do her job, God will deal with her. Ladies, if your husband's not doing your job, you still got to do your job and God will deal with him. But we have a responsibility. God says, I need you to fulfill your responsibility. Because if you fulfill your responsibility, you're happy, your home will be blessed and happy and honor me, and your kids will grow up. You have a better chance of your kids growing up right than if you don't. Bottom line, it's your responsibility. So God's precepts, the Bible says, what does it say here? It says, happy are those who do not walk in iniquity, but they walk in his ways, and we obey and fulfill the responsibilities God has given us. God's word outlines responsibilities assigned to us. So when we hold the Bible and say, word, we're saying, here's my responsibilities. Here's God's testimonies. Here's what God has said he has done. That's what it is. It's not just rules, it's also his story. It's his representation of what who he is and what he's done. And it's a list and description of our responsibilities. So many people don't want rules. But when they get a job, guess what? They do the rules. Because if you do the rules, you get paid. And if you're smart, what do you go to? You go to your boss and you say, "Boss, tell me how I get more paid." I know it's incorrect grammar, but you know what I'm talking about. "How do I get more paid?" He says, "Well, do this." "Okay, what do? You write that down. And you do it, or you try to make him think you do it so you get more paid." All God's telling you here is, look, if you want to be more blessed, more happy, more fulfilled in your life, have more peace in your life, more strength to overcome issues and problems and tragedies and obstacles, do what I say. Simple as that. Simple as that. I can tell you, you got problems in your life? Now, I'm not saying if you have sick and you have cancer, that's not necessarily because of sin in your life, but let me tell you something. How you deal with it will be up to you. You can deal with even something like that and be at peace because you're doing it God's way. His word applies to everything in your life. Look at verse 5 in your notes. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes." The Hebrew word for statutes comes from the verb to mean to engrave or write. To engrave or write laws or customs imposed by God. Statutes are laws and customs imposed by God. And guess what? They are engraved. Someone, when we first started the church, someone gave me a rock, and engraved in it was our logo. And then someone else gave me a bigger rock. It was about 150-pound rock, and it had a whole verse engraved in it. You can kick that rock. You can write on it. You can spray paint it. Those engraved letters are still going to be there. God is not going to change his mind for you. "Well, God, you know, I know you want us to, you know, wait till we get married and, you know." No. You know, yeah, I still do want you to wait till you get married. "Well, God, you know, I know you don't want us to tithe, but, you know, it's different now. Bills are higher." No, I still want you to do that. "Oh, God, I know you want us to serve and, you know, love our enemy, but you don't understand the nature of enemies today." No, I still want you to love your enemy. That stuff's not changing. See, man's law changes. Remember the speed limit? What the speed limit used to be? 55? 55. Then it went to 60. Then it went to 65. And then in some areas it's 70. Right? And in reality, it's 9 miles over whatever the sign says. For real. You could drive and don't do this and then, you know, "Miles said, Mr. Officer." Well, give Miles this ticket then. That, you know, you could drive 70-ish with the police because the law is kind of, you know, like it's living and active, it's changing. God's law, he said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, he said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. He said it, that's it. So God's word finalizes laws for us to keep. He expects you to keep them. God has called some of y'all to do something with your life. You will be frustrated and unfulfilled until you do it. I'm going to say it again. God has called some of y'all to do something with your life. Oh, I'm sorry. God has called all of us to do something with our life, to be something specifically. And until you do that, you'll be unfulfilled. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be happy or have fun or have a, you know, house and family and whatever, but fulfilled the way God created you to be fulfilled is only going to happen when you do what God has called you to do and predestined you to do, period. Now, many of us search all our life trying to find what that is. Some of us never find it. Some of us find it quick. You ever wonder why people can live as a missionary somewhere in the middle of nowhere with nothing and be very happy? Because that's what God made them to do. I have a dog. You ever wonder why animals can do nothing? And I don't really know, I believe we really don't understand animals all the time, but like a cow. a cow, what do they do all day? Then they sit. Then they go drink some water. They eat some grass. And I always ride by animals like that and feel sorry for them because I'm like, man, isn't that boring? But God somehow created them that that's what they do. They don't have the desire to drive a car, fly, build a business. They don't have that capacity. I saw a sad thing yesterday, and this is kind of a tangent, but that's okay. It was a story about a young girl who was, she was locked up in a room for the first 13 years of her life. She didn't learn how to speak. She had a diaper on. She was in a cage. And, but right before they showed that story, these scientists were trying to figure out the effects on a person when a person is locked up and isolated. So what they did is they isolated these little monkeys from the minute they were born, they had no contact for years just to see the effect it would have on them. And it was really sad because this little monkey, when he let it out in the cage, this is really sad. It literally put his hand on his arm like this and his hand on his head and ran from the other monkeys. And he was just like this. And it's such a human thing to do, but it was like scared, and the other monkeys would come around and he would just run like this because he never had contact. And then they said, how can we ever, they said we would never experiment on a human like that, but we sure would like to know what the effects were so we can understand how the brain works, and they found this girl. But the point is that we have capacity to do something. We have calling to do something, and many of us, we don't fulfill it. We end up going over here, but we don't pray and understand the power of prayer. As a matter of fact, this little girl, they showed her brain on a scan, and because she never used her brain, because she never learned how to speak until she was 13 years old, when she started to learn words, her brain was smaller than the normal average child, because your brain grows and develops by use. And so many of us are like that. We have this calling on our life, and God's saying, this is what I want you to do. And we're over here wasting away. We don't know why. Why? How? Do you fix that? You give your life to Christ, and you say, God, what did you create me for? And he goes, boom, and you go, oh, my goodness. And, you know, when you find what God wants you to do, guess what doesn't matter? Everything. Nothing matters. Money don't matter. Where you live don't matter. How you live. It's all like, I just want to do what God wants me to do. And guess what? I'll work all day and night to do it, and it don't matter. Oh, it's a good place to be. You need to pray to get there. Next one. Verse 6, it says, then I would not be ashamed when I look into your commandments. God's word are his commandments, mitzvah, to command or charge to do something. God's commands are an expression and revelation of his nature and person. God's word represents non-negotiable commandments from God, not suggestions. When God tells you to lie, he's not giving you a good idea. When God tells you to love your wife, he's not giving you a good idea. When God tells you to be honest, when God tells you don't steal, don't kill, he's not giving you a good idea. Let me tell you something. You have to understand his commandments are based on stuff he knows that we don't. Look in your notes. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Do you want to know how you can love God? Just do what he says. That's all. You don't need to give God everything you have. Listen. You don't need to give God everything you have. He wants you to have it, some of it. He wants some of it, but he wants you to give him what he tells you to give him. And the rest that he has you keep, he wants you to use it the way he tells you to use it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he'll say this much, do whatever you want, go have fun with it. As long as you don't do this sin. But my point is that, God, what do you want me to do? That should be the question you ask yourself every day, all the time. What do you want me to do? That is the foundation of your relationship with Christ. That is the definition of being a Christian, is doing what God said. In doing what God said, you will become what he called you to be. Simple, 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 simple. That's the basis. You can learn all the deep things of God. Oh, I learned this about God. It don't do anything. No, you no good. No, you no good. It will do you no good unless you obey what he says. I was talking to a person the other day, This person was telling me stuff they were going through, and then this person says, but I love God. Don't get me wrong. I says, well, the definition of loving God is obeying God. Oh, you're breaking my heart. Are you telling me I don't love God? I says, no, I'm telling you. Let me ask you this. If you were married and you committed adultery and you told your spouse, I love you, would they believe you? You don't do those kind of things when you love somebody. Let me tell you something. You can measure your love for God by just asking yourself, how much do you obey him? How much do you obey him? And I'm not talking about just coming to church on Sunday. When you leave here, do you serve? Do you give? Do you pray? Do you read your Bible? Do you witness? Do you do all the things he said to do? If you don't do those things, guess what? You don't really love God as much as you could, and you might be coming to church out of habit, out of guilt. Maybe God will see me. Hey, God, I'm here. God sees you. He sees your heart. See, sin is not only doing what's wrong, sin is also not doing what's right. If God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you just sin. I give you an example, and this is going to be an example you ain't going to like. Somebody offends you. Someone steals something from you. Someone does something to hurt you. You're an innocent bystander. You're a victim. And God tells you to go pray for them. God tells you to call them up and see how they're doing. And you say, God, I don't want to do that. He goes, no, what do you mean you don't want to do that? Go do it. And you say, God, I don't want to do that. They did this. You just sinned. Whoa. Has nothing to do with that person. Has everything to do with God. All God's concerned about is your relationship with him, your dependence on him, your level of obedience. You could be driving down the street. Someone can run you off the road into those concrete dividers they got out there on the freeway. And God tells you, when you get out this car, I want you to ask them how they're doing. And I want you to pray for them. God, they just ran me off the road. They just wrecked my car. I want you, the reason I had them wreck your car is because you haven't prayed for people the last five people I told you to pray for. So the best way for me to get your attention is I'm running you off the road. I'm putting you in a situation to see what you're going to do. This is for your benefit. Your whole life is all about what you and God do. The reason Cain killed Abel, remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve sinned. They tried to cover the sin with leaves. God said, no, not leaves, the skin of animal. Why was that significant? Because you had to kill an animal to get its skin. Without bloodshed, there's no forgiveness of sin. That's what God was teaching them. They taught their sons, Cain and Abel, that lesson. When you worship God, kill an animal. Abel killed an animal, gave the worship to God. God said, I accept your sacrifice. Abel did. Cain grew something out of the ground and gave God what he wanted to give God. God said, I don't accept your offering. You can't give God what you want to give him. You got to give God what he said. It's his testimony from the very first book he's telling. This is chapter 4 of the whole Bible. He's instituting, without bloodshed, there's no forgiveness of sin. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross. Because that's what he said. Established that from the beginning. So Cain gave God what Cain wanted to give God. And God said, I don't accept your offering. And the Bible says that Cain's countenance fell. He got discouraged. And the devil, God said, Cain, if you do what's right, I'll accept you. But sin is knocking at your door. What you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? What did Cain do? Instead of Cain doing the right thing, Cain took his anger out and the anger that was a result of his broken fellowship with the Father, he took it out on his brother. The reason you have problems with people here is not because they did something to you. Mm-mm. It's because your relationship with God ain't right. So you could lie to me. If me and God are cool, all right, I'll forgive you. Let's move on. But if me and God ain't cool, I'm not going to like you just because your hair smells. You're going to have a problem with people so quick if your relationship with God is not right. But if your relationship with God is right, guess what? He's going to give you so much grace and love towards people that it almost doesn't matter. That's how much love he has. But it all starts with here. It all starts with here. It all starts with obeying God. If I'm obeying God and I'm blessed by God and I'm walking in God's light, you know what? Guess what? Stuff is going to come my way, but I'm going to be so much more powerful in the spirit to deal with it, so much more able in the spirit to deal with it. That's why it's critical to obey. So we hold up God's word and say, word, we're saying, here are the things, the commandments, the things I got to do. that is going to enable me to be blessed and do everything God has called me to do. The next one, in verse 7, it says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. Mishpat, to judge or govern, ordinances designed to promote justice. A verdict, sentence or formal decree that has been decided. God's word reveals God's verdicts based on his righteousness. When God makes a decision, guess what? It's the decision is made on his righteousness. We do not and will not always understand why God does the things he does. Why little kids are allowed to die. Why people get cancer like Carla. Why people get their house ripped off. We don't know why, but well, here's what we don't know. We don't know the whole story. We always want to, in the middle of the story, say, God, you're wrong. God, why you're unfair? God is not fair. He is righteous. Fair would be that we would pay for our own sin. That's fair. Righteous says, you know what? I'm going to give you 9 trillion opportunities. Remember when Cain killed his brother? He put a mark on his head. Why did he put the mark on his head? So no one would kill him. So he would have an opportunity to repent. It's fair. Beyond fair. His judgments are righteous, and so we need to trust him. So if something happens in your life, you say it's not fair, you need to then say, that's right, but it's righteous. Dear God, I trust you. Because it's based on your loving kindness, and it's based on the fact that you know the whole story. We don't know the whole story. And number 9, the last one, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Dorbor means to say or to speak. There are 86 words in the English language just to explain this word. This is your life. There's dirt in it. Amen? Our righteousness is like filthy rags. That means the best you can do is like a dirty rag. Here's your life. And God says, you want to clean your life up? Get more money. Amen? A few maybes out there, huh? You want to clean your life up? Get some girlfriends. Amen? A little louder nose. You want to clean your life up? Get a boyfriend. Amen? Get a better job. Get a nicer house. Get 2-3 cars. No, if you want to clean your way, the only thing you got to do, and let me describe clean your way. If you want to purify your life, purify your thoughts, purify relationships, mend the relationships. Be able to minister to people. If you want your life and your way to be right where God wants you to do, the only thing you got to do is do what God said. God will tell you what to say. He will tell you what to do. He will tell you what to wear. He will tell you where to go. He will tell you jobs to take. He will tell you majors to study in school. He'll tell you everything. You'll get in conversations and he'll say, listen. He'll say, talk. He'll say, don't say this. He'll say, here's a word of knowledge. In other words, I'm going to tell you something you didn't know about this person or what they're saying. It is constant, constant dependence on what he says. That small, still voice, if you want to clean your way, if you want to purify your way, do what God said. It is so simple. It sounds simple, but you know we don't do it. You know what we get caught up in? What we think. We have to be able to go home today and look in the mirror and say, you don't know Jack. Now, jacked up means messed up, and Jack also means anything. You don't know anything. God, tell me everything. And let me tell you something. God will tell you anything about anything in your life if you just ask him. He wants to be so much involved in your life. My daughter left yesterday for 4 weeks to go to this ballet school. And, you know, I'm going to want to know, where you staying, who you with, what did you do, what was the teacher like? I want to know. I don't want to know. But you know what? I do know God is up there with her. And I say, God, please watch her. Please keep her safe. Please protect her. She's staying on a college campus. Please send good friends in her life. And if anyone comes in her life and tries to hurt her, please get them. You can pray that, by the way. You think I'm lying? The Bible says, if anyone hurts your daughter, pray that I'll get them, and I'll get them. The Bible says that. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So I say, God, you take vengeance, and vengeance is whatever God makes it. So you say, God, that's when you say, God, bless me. It's bless me is whatever God makes it. So God, take vengeance before they do it, so much so that they are unable to do it. You know what I'm talking about, right, Lord? But my point is this, is that all I got to do, you and I have to realize that God wants to be involved in every area of our life. So what we need to do every day is, God, speak to me. And there are issues in your life. Last week, I encouraged you to write down your issues. I encouraged you to write down your problems and to write down what God would say to you. Hopefully, some of y'all do. Did anybody do that last week? Good. Say amen if you were blessed at all. Good. Is to write down, God, I got a situation. What do you say? God, I got a question. What do you say? And God will speak to you. You hear a small, still voice, and it'll give you an idea, a direction. And any of your ideas, any of your thoughts that are good, they're all from God. All good things come from God. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your testimonies. We thank you for your precepts. And Lord, there may be some people here today who need to really recommit themselves to depending and trusting and obeying your word and your precepts. And there may be also people here today who need to have their way cleansed, either through recommitting their life to you or through salvation. To all of you people, I want to challenge you to pray with me. And this prayer is simply a prayer of, Lord, I want to cleanse my way. Whether you're saved, a Christian, or not, this prayer is for you. You know who you are. You know that God wants more of you. He wants your whole heart. When you give him your whole heart, you will find him. So in the privacy of your heart, if today you're saying, Lord, you know what? I want my way cleansed. I trust your word. I trust that it's complete. I trust there's everything in it I need. And I want to make a commitment to it this morning. In the privacy of your heart, pray with me. Pray, dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's pure and true, living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. Please purify my heart, God. Please forgive my sin. I surrender my life to you. I surrender all my burdens to you, all my cares, my concerns. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if today you're praying that prayer for whatever reason, whether it's salvation, whether you want to recommit your life to Christ, as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed and the music's playing, just stand up and come down to the altar right now. Anybody in the lobby in Casa Real, just get up out of your seat. God bless you. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Just get up out of your seat and come on down. Come up out of the lobby, out of Casa Real. You know who you are. You know it's time. You know it's time to walk according to God's promises. You know it's time to obey his precepts, fulfill your responsibilities. You know it's time to begin memorizing the word, submitting to the word, obeying his commands. Just get up out of your seat. God bless you. Good. God bless you. Get up out of your seat and come stand in front of the altar here. God bless you. Good, good, good. There are more of you that need to get up. We're going to wait just a second. This is not the time to worry about what people think. This is the time to be worrying about what God thinks. If God has spoken to you about getting up, get up and come on down. Good, good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good. God bless you. Good, good, good. Good. The Bible says that we need to walk according to His word. Well, that walk starts right now as you walk down the aisle. Anybody else? Good. 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 God bless you. Good. 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 Come up out of the lobby. We'll wait for you out of Casa Real. God bless you. Good. Come on down, all the way down to the front. God bless you. Good. 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 Lord, we thank you for all these people who are still coming forward. We thank you for these people who have come forward. Lord, you make it so clear from the first to the last book that your word is what we need to obey. And you make it so clear from the first to the last book that if we disobey, there are consequences that we don't like. Yet we continue to test you. We continue to challenge you and doubt you. We continue to rationalize disobeying you, and we always lose. And Lord, I pray that we would test you in this way, that we would test to see how blessed we would be if we obeyed, how blessed we would be if we did exactly what you want. And that blessing is whatever you decide, Lord, whether it be joy, whether it be material things, whether it be relationships, whether it be spiritual gifts exploding and spiritual fruit in our life. Lord, whatever that blessing is, that's up to you. But blessed means, oh, how happy. Lord, I pray that you would change the things that make us happy. That just fellowshipping with you and hearing your voice and experiencing your presence would make us more happy than anything in the world. Just to know we're in the hand of God. Lord, we just want to be in heaven sweeping the streets. It don't matter. Thank you. Lord, I pray for these people. I pray that you would bless them. I pray that they would know exactly what you want them to do. And if they're unclear, I pray they would seek your will with their whole heart. They would knock. They would seek. They would look. They would ask. Because if you say we do, if we do those things, we will be fulfilled. The door will be opened. And if we seek you, we'll find you. If we ask, we'll receive the wisdom. But we must believe. Lord, for the rest of us, I pray this week we would be diligent, disciplined to obey. To obey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. To all y'all who are down here, I want to say this. God, amen. Don't go anywhere. Let me say this. God has a plan. Just let him do it. Don't take control back. Give him control. Let him do it. It's true. It works always. And we all know why we get in the troubles we do, because of us. So it's real simple. It's no rocket science. So get someone in your life who can hold you accountable, who can look you in the eye and ask you how you're doing. Go to a small group. For the rest of y'all, bring a friend back next week. We'll be right here. All y'all, I'm going to ask y'all to follow that lady and that lady. They're going to walk you that way and pray with you. So let's all give them a hand as they walk up. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.